Breakfast Briefing on News Talk.
The Irish Independent leads this morning with FAI steps up security as workers targeted by threatening letters. Philip Ryan writing that the FAI has ramped up security at its Abbottstown HQ after suspicious letters were sent in the post, and the association, which last week revealed its €55 million debt, is concerned about staff safety at the West Dublin campus. And according to the Independent, in an email to staff, the interim executive lead Paul Cook said the FAI was working in close partnership with the Gardaí in relation to a number of postal incidents received at its headquarters within a 48-hour period. And there's more on that story inside the Irish Independent and across most of the papers this morning. The Irish Times leads today with Democrats move to impeach Trump. This is Donald Trump, now poised to become the third president in US history to be impeached, because the Democrats filed two articles of impeachment against him yesterday. According to the House of Representatives Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler, he said that we do not take this action lightly, but we have taken an oath to defend the Constitution. And standing in front of a row of American flags and also a portrait of George Washington in the US Capitol, alongside other senior Democratic figures, including the House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Jerry Nadler said that Donald Trump would face two impeachment charges: abuse of power and also obstruction of Congress over his dealings with Ukraine. But witch hunt, that's how Donald Trump reacted. He tweeted those words shortly after the announcement yesterday, and the White House has accused the Democrats of a baseless and partisan attempt to undermine a sitting US president. And there's more on that story inside the Irish Times today. And as you heard Kieran mention, they'll also have more details from Washington coming up on News Talk Breakfast just after 7 o'clock this morning. The Irish Examiner leads today with a story about a settlement to two airlines over the air travel tax. We'll have more coming up on that story though with Vincent on our Breakfast Business at 6:30 this morning. And also in the front of the Irish Independent today, nun loses hermitage planning court case. Two Carmelite nuns will have to find a new hermitage after their mother superior was found guilty of breaching planning laws near West Cork. And there's more on that story. Sentencing adjourned to give them 5 months to locate a new base. Full report on the inside of the Irish Independent as well today. Just a quick look though at some of the tabloids, their headlines this morning. The Sun and the Star both leading with the FAI this morning. The Daily Mail tells us our RTE stars are in demand. The state broadcaster is in a competitive market for high paid presenters, and it's a myth there isn't a demand for them. That is what Dee Forbes told a Dáil committee yesterday. She also defended the huge salaries paid to presenters there, with of course then their own staff demanding that they take a sharp cut to help pay for the funding shortfall. There's more on that story on the front of the Daily Mail and also on the front of the Irish Times too this morning as well. Government wants RTE to look at selling Montrose. That's the headline on the front of the Irish Times this morning. The Herald leads today with details of a court case, and the Mirror leads this morning with a really incredible story, Santa Letter that Shames Ireland. This is two really young kids writing their letters to Santa, asking him to come to the hotel again this year to deliver their toys. And more details, I suppose, really looking at the homelessness situation in this country at the moment. But to some of the other stories that you will be talking about today, two stories in the front of the Irish Examiner this morning. You may have heard them mentioned in the news bulletin, but if you're just joining us today, children working for gangs. That's the headline on the front of the Irish Examiner. Young people regarded as plentiful and expendable by gang bosses who are ruling over communities through fear. This is according to new research that's been carried out. It's the Building Community Resilience Study. And what they did was they used crime data and interviews with Gardaí and community activists to try and identify and to map out criminal networks right across the southwest part of Dublin. And some of the researchers, Johnny Connolly and Jane Mulcahy, they said that criminal networks better described the kind of varying levels of organisation. They identified 650 criminals. They then paired them back to two fairly identifiable criminal networks, one with 44 members, the other with 52, but it included a large number of teenagers in the 15 to 17 year old age bracket. And in both of those cases, the numbers didn't include young kids, some of whom are maybe as young as 11, but young children are engaging at an early stage with the networks, and they're often kind of acting as so-called runners. And this research that it's been published today, I'm sure there'll be plenty of analysis here coming up in the station about it. But it comes as Fianna Fáil is proposing new legislation to make those who use children to do drug runs liable up to 10 years in prison. Further analysis in the inside of the Irish Examiner this morning. But it's pretty incredible when you read the story in the front of the paper, and you would assume that community policing is probably part of the answer to the problem. Certainly early intervention at a young age. But we do want to hear from you. What's your view on that story? You can let us know this morning. The other story that you'll be hearing about today as well is this new research from the Royal College of Physicians of Ireland. Direct provision causes children lifelong harm. We carried out a fairly extensive series here in the station 2 weeks ago relating to direct provision. But, you know, further details relating to the effect that it has on young children, now published today with this new research from the Faculty of Paediatrics at the Royal College of Physicians in Ireland. And they say that direct provision should be abolished and residents, especially children, should be placed instead in community-based, family-friendly environments. And they also say that while the state has a duty of care towards refugees and asylum seekers, that society itself has a role to play, and children should be living in environments that support them and encourage them. And this is according to the Children in Direct Provision report. And I've no doubt you'll hear further analysis of that story too today as well. Some of the other stories, housing. There's quite a few different housing stories across the papers this morning, but the one that caught my eye is in the Irish Independent, page 4 of the paper this morning. 90 homes a day must be built for 10 years to meet rise in public demand. That's the headline. This is Charlie Weston, the paper's personal finance editor, writing that there's a massive unmet demand for housing due to population growth, inward migration, and also changes in household formation in this country. And this is based on new research by central bank economists indicating that 34,000 new housing units are going to be needed each year right up until 2030 in Ireland. And it works out at around 90 houses a day that need to be completed for the next 10 years. Not nearly enough houses have been built in the past 8 years, according to this research, and around a third of the housing units needed are being built. And economists David Conifrey and David Staunton base their projections on a net inward migration of 30,000 people a year. What's interesting, though, is that the story is placed right beside another housing-related story with the headline, "Locals Not Happy as 1,000 New Homes Get the Go-Ahead." And this is in relation to a new development in South Dublin as well. To some of the other stories that you'll be hearing about this morning, in the Irish Examiner, the front page there, Wetherspoon to invest 30 million euro. This is the British pub group. Wetherspoons is going to invest 30 million euro to boost its Irish pub and hotel portfolio next year. And the group said that it'll invest 240 million euro across the UK and Ireland in the next 4 years. That spend covers new pubs and refurbishment and also enlargement of some of their existing sites. They currently operate more than 900 pubs in the UK and Ireland, and in the Republic alone, it owns seven, five of which are in Dublin City suburbs, one in Carlow Town, and also one in Cork City Centre. Interesting story as well on the inside of the Irish Independent this morning, and we want to hear your view on this story. Ireland talks tough on climate, but ranks near the bottom for action. This is new research showing that Ireland, it's stepping up its pledges on climate action, joining the coalition of countries and different corporations which have vowed to work swiftly towards a zero carbon future. But the move to join the coalition makes us part of the 25 member state, some of 102 cities and more than 100 firms who've joined up since it was set up back in 2017. But the Climate Action Minister, Richard Bruton, made the announcement ahead of travelling to Madrid today to deliver our national statement and the UN conference at the UN conference on climate change. And he also said that he would be confirming Ireland's backing as well for the declaration on shipping, which seeks a 40% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions. And we're interested in your view on whether or not you think, in a general sense, are we doing enough in climate action? Are we maybe only tinkering around the edges? Could you think that we could actually be doing more? You can let us know your view on that story today. Also in the Irish Examiner this morning, maybe just have a look at where you're parking today, because 241 fines issued to motorists who parked in cycle lanes. This is in Cork City. People cycling in parking in cycle lanes this year. It represents just about 0.6 of all tickets issued in the city centre in Cork alone between the 1st of January and the end of October, a further 1,100 tickets were issued to motorists who parked on footpaths, grass margins, or also in various different median strips. And the data was given to Green Party councillor Lorna Brogue, who has criticised the approach to enforcement in traffic laws in the city. She said that she's frequently contacted by frustrated cyclists and pedestrians who are forced onto busy roads due to motorists having parked cars on the footpaths or in the cycle lanes. We'll stay with driving this morning and driving home for Christmas. 1 million plan festive visit home. That's the headline on page 3 of the Examiner today. This is Irish people set to make their plans on the trains, automobiles, trying to get home for the festive season. The majority will spend more on travel than on seasonal gifts for friends and family, because a record numbers will travel from different parts of the world to be with their family on Christmas Day. The average Irish adult will travel 814 kilometres to get home for the festive season. It's about the distance from Dublin to Paris, the paper tells us this morning, which is significantly further though than the average European, who travels 500 kilometres. And the research from MasterCard reveals that the Irish abroad will spend €388 on average travelling home. It's more than double the €163 that they're going to spend on gifts. And roads, trains and planes are expected to be at their busiest on Christmas Eve, of course the most popular day to travel home back for Christmas. But parents are also the most popular people to go back home to see, probably no surprise. But 24% of people who took part in this research said that they would go the distance to see their pet on Christmas Day. And I will just take one final story for this morning. It's on page 3 of the Irish Independent today. They is named Word of the Year for use as a non-binary gender pronoun. The use of the word they to describe someone who doesn't identify as a male or female has been selected by the US dictionary Merriam-Webster as the word of 2019. And the researchers said that for the use of the word, which was added to the dictionary back in September, it had increased by more than €300 this year as more people were identifying as non-binary, neither man or woman. And the Oxford English Dictionary also published articles online in 2018 saying that the singular they was grammatically correct, and it had also been used since at least the late 14th century. Those are the stories making the headlines. Breakfast Briefing on News Talk.